You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You are an accessory to a robbery, and now you're in the back seat of the getaway car. You never intended to be part of a criminal act, but the doors are locked, the driver's speeding away, and you're unable to escape. One member of the 2017 World Series champion Astros used that analogy to explain the feeling in the clubhouse as the team deployed a real-time sign-stealing scheme that season. That is an excerpt from the story of Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich in The Athletic. The newest development on this sign-stealing saga is that supposedly, if you want to buy this, Carlos Beltran, because he ran the clubhouse, he was the veteran, he was the leader, along with bench coach Alex Cora, who would go on to manage the Boston Red Sox to a World Series, they basically threw their weight around and said, this is what we're doing. Beltran came over from the Yankees and told the Astros they're way behind on how teams are stealing signs now. So they came up with a system. If you believed this, that all these players, not all, but some were victims, that they felt bad, that they didn't want to do it, because I'm sure there were guys that were uncomfortable with it. I believe that. I'm sure there were guys who didn't like it at all and thought it was ridiculous and they were cheating and they felt uncomfortable about it, like Mike Fiers, who didn't end up blowing the whistle until well after he left Houston. Because what are you supposed to do? Supposed to just come out and out all your teammates and the organization that you're with and become persona non grata? I think there's something to this, Danny. But that said, why'd you do it the next year? Beltran retired. And why'd you do it the year after that? If he was really the big bad wolf and he was the reason why this started, okay. If as many people disliked it as possible and it was just him and Cora kind of throwing their weight around, after those guys were gone, not only did you keep doing it, but there's speculation that maybe you upped the technology and you went from banging trash cans to wearing buzzers.
The Wall Street Journal report doesn't jive with this to me. This is the Major League Baseball version of what happened, right? Where this is just a couple guys who are really responsible for this. None of them are players now, so we can punish them. Cora, Beltran, Lunau, Hinch, gone. It's just four guys. That's it. That's who's responsible. We feel bad about A.J. Hinch. He's the least responsible. But anyway, he's still getting punished for it. But these other three guys, they're the ringleaders. Bogus, man. I don't buy it for a second. Now, I do buy that Carlos Beltran was influential in the clubhouse. I do buy that I'm sure he exerted influence and pressure over people.
Yeah, if the future Hall of Famer is saying this is what we're doing and you're a second-year player without much say-so, he's going to have more sway than you.
But the Wall Street Journal report was basically an intern approaches Jeff Lunau and goes, I have discovered a way to steal people's signs with a computer program. And Lunau calls it the dark arts. It's code breaking. It's now the thing that he cares most about when he goes to the ballpark every day.
Yeah, he would jokingly walk downstairs on days where they weren't getting a lot of hits and say, hey, are we code breaking today? Are we using the dark arts today?
It's encouraged. It's rampant. It's a thing. It's a system. This isn't just Carlos Beltran going, you guys, we're going to steal some signals and win some ball games. No, no, no. Organizational cheating.
Could have been both, honestly, though. I mean, the trash can and could have all started really with, you know, an intern and Jeff Lunau and deciphering things, and he's still saying we're not going far enough. Because the story, according to these reports from The Athletic, is that he basically said, you guys are not advanced. Like, every other team has passed you in terms of sign stealing with technology. If you believe that. Marwin Gonzalez played for the Astros in 2017 when they won the World Series. He left last year. He was on that team in 2018 as well. Went to Minnesota. He's now with the Twins. He was at spring training. He talked about his sorrow for being a part of this saga.
I'm here to tell how I feel and then just damn remorseful for everything that happened in 2017. Everything that we did as a group. And then... And like the players that were affected directly by us by doing this and some of our teams. And that's what I feel the more regret, and that's what I'm remorseful.
I'm interested in what he had to say because it's the first player that's come out basically and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. None of the other players, not even really the managers or the executives, have apologized in their own way with statements, I guess. Hinch basically said, I didn't do enough. He's shown
some remorse. He was the most contrite, yeah.
Absolutely. But players, nobody's done anything.
Right.
No, Bregman and Altuve, those guys at their Astros caravan winter meeting, whatever that was, where they got all their fans ramped up for the season, that was a joke. I mean, they didn't answer questions. They didn't talk about their manager who'd just been thrown under the bus and fired. They didn't talk about their executive. They got blown out. They basically acted like nothing happened. We're going to feed off this. If you think we played hard before, wait till you see what happens. You know, played the victim card a little bit.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everyone hates us now. We're poor, pitiful us. They better answer some questions when they show up at spring training. I'm going to tell you right now. And that's coming in the next couple of days at West Palm, where the Nats train at the same facility. But they better have some contrition. They better apologize, because their owner is actually holding a big meeting. I think it was today, to discuss how they're going to handle this.
That's right.
From a PR standpoint,
and what
with
I
everyone
is,
in the organization and every player, how they're going to go about these first few days of camp.
And I bet they are just going to say, we'll refer to a statement that, you know, check the statement. They're going to come out with a statement that's going to be vague, hint at some form of regret for how this all went, but not take any culpability, not take any fault for how this whole thing went down, for their rampant cheating that we now know more about than we did when they first got caught months ago. This is widespread. This was systemic. This was enormous. And they're not going to say our bad. I really believe that, because then it turns into, well, you start to pull the thread. If they say, yes, this was as bad as you guys think it is, or whatever, if they confirm what we already seem to know at this stage, then you start looking into player accomplishments. Is Alex Bregman really good? Now, you and I both know that he's excellent. We both know that Correa is a star, that Altuve was great before they started stealing signs and whatever. But it makes you seem less accomplished, that people are going to start to take away from your credentials as excellent Major League Baseball players. As a team, by the way, that if they didn't steal signs, would still win 100 games last year in the American League. They
right.
are great. They were great. They've been great. They're going to be great once again this year. But they're going to take that as kind of a knock against their ability.
Marwin Gonzalez, second cut here. He was asked if anyone tried to stop what the Astros were doing. This is, you know, directly with that report that supposedly players were unhappy when Beltran and others implemented this. He was asked about that.
Did anyone try to stop it as it was going?
Well, I can tell you that, because I will be lying. I was like really focused on helping my team, but it's going to be hard to answer that, so I don't want to guess.
I don't know if he didn't know or he didn't want to answer there. I'm not sure. But he certainly didn't come out and say what people said in this story, which was basically, for lack of a better description, Beltran made us do it.
So there are guys, and obviously my experience has nothing to do with Major League Baseball, but there were guys that I played with who didn't want to know what pitch was coming. I found that weird, because it got in their own head a little bit, but they didn't want to know. You can opt out. The idea that Carlos Beltran made them do it is laughable, by the way. Because if you don't want the sign given to you, you can just say, please don't bang the trash can. I find it distracting. And you'll just go in your own abilities. The opt-out's very simple. It's guys don't mess with what you're comfortable with in the box. But there was plenty of opt-in. So the idea that this is Beltran, you know, brandishing up, I don't know, like a pirate sword and holding everybody at knife point saying, we're doing this or else, no way. I just don't buy that for a single second.
I don't either. I don't think he was the bad guy and other players were victims. I think you either took part in it or you didn't. Mm-hmm. And I understand that if you're part of a team and something nefarious is going on, that you can't single-handedly stop it. Look, if the manager, A.J. Hinch, didn't feel empowered enough or didn't feel responsible enough to be the guy to put an end to it, then a player, particularly a younger player than Beltran, is not going to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it was him and him alone, when we already know that the executives at the highest level were in on this thing, because one of them got suspended a year before being fired. And we also have other reports saying that, as you said, this system was created not by Carlos Beltran, but by executives. They were all in on it.
It's not the Beltran algorithm.
I don't think he put the algorithm that deciphered the signals together. But here's my question. We can get to this next on the phones. The owner of the Astros is meeting with the team to go over how they want to play this now, how they want to answer questions and talk with a collection of media that's going to be several hundred deep for the next few weeks at spring training. What do you think needs to happen? I mean, for me, if these guys don't come out and either partially explain what went on, or at least apologize for what they did and admit fault, I'm going to be really, really upset. You already got away with nothing.
Right.
You already got away scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have some contrition. It could be as simple as what we just played for Marwin Gonzalez. Sorry I did that. I look back on that, and I have shame of what we did. It does taint what we accomplished. From this point forward, hopefully people will now know how good we are because we're doing it clean. But if they just refer to a statement, as you speculate they will, or mm-hmm. they do what they did at that caravan where they basically say, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that, guys. I'm focusing on 2020. Oh, I'm gonna hate this team more than I do right now.
I already hate them.
I'm going to be rooting against them more than I would otherwise. You apologize. You show some contrition. I'll find a way to move along and treat you like another team. 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Carl asks on Twitter, do you think the Astros were still actively stealing signs against the Nationals? Presumably he's talking about the World Series. But yeah, I absolutely think they were.
I do.
Of course they were. Why wouldn't they have been? They weren't, at that point, quote-unquote, punished. They weren't caught necessarily, although everyone in baseball knew what they were doing. There was a story in the Washington Post published last night by two of my favorite baseball writers, Dave Shine and Barry Sfaluga, with some reporting from some of their other staffers, about just how much the word was out on the Astros really for over a year. And the fact that, you know, Max Scherzer, as an example, was reaching out to a former Astro that he had a relationship with, Tony Sipp, who was here in Washington at one point in time in 2018. And he said, hey, I know that when players are on second base, you know, we need to be on high alert that someone's going to steal signs. He says, do you think we need to be on high alert when nobody's on base that they're stealing signs? Meaning, are they doing something they're not supposed to be doing? And Tony Sipp, according to this Post report, said, yeah, you should absolutely
yes.
prepare for that.
Dodgers former Brian Dozier teammates reaching out to Brian Dozier being like, hey, this is an open secret, but this is real. Make sure you guys are prepared.
And Dozier, the way that that works, obviously, is Dozier played for the Dodgers last year in the World Series, so they knew by playing the Astros at that time, but those Dodgers teammates had more intel even than Dozier. So they're all hitting him up saying, hey, this is what they're doing. This is what's going on. There was a meeting right before the World Series started. I think it was October 22nd, if memory serves off the top of my head, between Rizzo, Davey Martinez, Luno, Hinch, and all the umpiring crew for the World Series,
mm-hmm.
where they basically went above and beyond their normal ground screw meeting and everything that they have before the World Series, and they said, listen, no funny business.
No shenanigans.
They said no shenanigans, no technology, no Apple Watches, no nothing. They don't normally do that, and they weren't saying it for the Nationals. They weren't saying it so that Mike Rizzo and his group heard. What do you think the Astros players should be instructed to do? How should they handle this in spring training? Because my fear, and I'm almost positive, they're just going to either say the past is the past.
Yep.
They're going to say we're facing 2020 head on. We're looking ahead. We're focusing on this season. We're on to Cincinnati. I don't think they're going to show any remorse or contrition at all. And by not having had to serve any time, by not having to admit that they did the crime, by not even having to apologize for having done it, it's just not going to sit well with me.
I'm sure anybody else. Yeah,
but it's really going to annoy me.
Yeah, rightfully so. They're going to basically hide behind the fact that if they had started admitting fault, start apologizing. I mean, you already got this one frivolous lawsuit from a former Blue Jays pitcher who hadn't pitched in the major league since he got knocked around by Houston in 2017. That lawsuit's bogus. But the only reason I'm excited about it is because I want disclosure. I want it to go to court. I want subpoenas, and I want information to come out. I want to know the full extent of what was going on. I don't necessarily want the guy to get a judgment or not. He was a bad pitcher before in Major League Baseball, and he's been okay in Japan since then. But the point is, if they start admitting fault, start being contrite without a delicate balance, they'll open themselves up to things. That, you know, then next thing you know, what happens? The Los Angeles Dodgers get to sort of retroactively sue to be the World Series champs. I mean, it sounds far-fetched and outrageous, but it's a road they don't want to go down. They want this to be over. Major League Baseball, and Rob Manfred, by the way, wants this to be over so desperately. That's why they did it the way they did. They gave you four people up on a platter and said, this is enough. And, of course, smart reporters and people that are good at this keep pulling the threads and going, wait a minute, there's more to this than just this weird little scheme with Cora and Beltran. And, you know, these two gatekeepers should have done more in terms of, Luno and Hinch. Man. It's way, way deeper than that. And Major League Baseball wants it to go away, too.
Let's go to Mark in D.C. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, good. How are you doing?
What's up?
I mean, I think the players should be contrite, but honestly, I don't care what the players say. I believe that title, I don't think the Dodgers should be made world champions that year, but right. I think it should be, the title should be vacated, because there have been, in other sports, maybe not in professional sports, but in my sport, for a lot less, I mean, and like, for instance, I mean, Usain Bolt only has 9 gold medals now because in 2008, one of his teammates tested positive for a questionable substance. That was not discovered. That was not discovered until 7 years after the fact, and they vacated that gold medal. Howard University won the NCAA soccer title. Their first title was vacated because I think a student who had, you know, maybe went from 12 hours to 9 hours during the season, and this a couple of years later they took the title from Howard for something as minor as that. Mm. And we're talking about cheating that's been totally verified and is beyond the pale in terms of the level of cheating. And they cheated their way to a championship, and it should be vacated. I don't care what the players say. It should be contrite, but I don't care what they say. Mm.
Appreciate
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, vacating the championship, just it. You won already. I mean, it doesn't change the memories. It doesn't change anything for me. Right, you go back and you take everyone's rings, and we all use the Men in Black wand, and everyone has to forget the parade they went to. It doesn't really do it for me. I don't care necessarily if the history book says with an asterisk that there were championships or completely pretends like they didn't win the title. That doesn't put the Triscuit crackers in my stomach, to be completely honest with you. I understand why people
feel
that way.
Yeah, I get the sentiment. I do.
100%. And I actually have come around on it a little bit, because the further removed from the end of the season we get, I'm getting more and more angry at this team.
Yeah.
Because of how they've handled this, honestly.
They're
because
so villainous, Grant.
They're hiding behind
Yes.
You know, because Altuve has said nothing, who I love, by the way. Because Bregman, I don't love him as much. I like
I can't
him fine.
Stand that, dude.
But that guy has said nothing. And when they did speak, the one time publicly we've seen them, they haven't come out on social media. They laughed in all our faces with each speculation. Literally, the manager, A.J. Hinch, laughed when he was asked if they were doing anything nefarious. They scoffed and they poked fun and they acted like, oh, we're just better than you. It's so funny. We're that much better that you think we're cheating. And now we know that you were and you're nowhere to be found. It really drives me nuts that they haven't had to come out and say anything. And if I'm baseball, I'm not allowing them to just act like nothing happened. You are absolutely wearing it initially here. You have to. Mm. You've got to say, look, here's what happened. Here's we're sorry. And Dusty Baker, you hire him, so he just comes in and talks about wine and how he invented the high five, and we'll all give him big hugs when we see him and yeah, write columns about how great he is.
He'll tell a story about how sorry he was back in 1981, and it's going to be awesome. And next thing you know, everyone's out of the palm of their hand. But you're right. Of course, you're right about what they need to do. And
they're
about
not going
what would make us happy. They're not
going to
do it. I just think it opens too many doors. And I don't think baseball is going to do the right thing either. Because baseball, you're 100% right about that. Right now, Manfred and all of his lackeys should be there in West Palm Beach in a nice little meeting room going, you will carry water for us, USOBs. You understand this? I gave you a soft punishment in retrospect. You lied to me probably at some point in this entire investigation. You will go up there and you will wear this. You guys, I don't care who you got, you have to do it. If it's the owner, if it's a couple players, you're going to stand up there and eat this, and then we can move on. Because people are not stopping their investigations. The Wall Street Journal thing happened well after the punishments all went down, right? We thought this was a closed deal. The Wall Street Journal found some stuff over a month. Oh, that's all it took, a couple phone calls and some records requests. Now you get the guys from the Post doing it. You think this is over?
I'll tell you what's not over.
What's that?
You and I breaking down a couple of key football stories today.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
A former record holder wants his record back, plus one of the exciting young quarterback talents in the league wants to become a starter and no longer just a gimmick option. We'll explain next on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Big NFL news today is that Myles Garrett's been reinstated. Cleveland Browns pass rusher is going to be eligible to play in week 1. He'll get to participate in all of the team's offseason activities. The NFL made it seem after he bashed Mason Rudolph in the head with a helmet and he was suspended indefinitely in week 11 last year, like his suspension might linger deep into the season, but that was obviously not the case, as they have decided they are only going to make his suspension the six games that ended last season. Six games, too much, not enough, or just right. If I had to go with one of those three, I would say not enough by a game or two.
Yeah, not enough.
I wanted him to be suspended the start of this year because I thought what he did was so egregious and so violent and just so unacceptable. But if it was either, you know, a full 16 games or six like they did,
I'd say closer to six.
I would say six.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want him to miss necessarily the majority of next season. I just didn't want this to be over without him missing some time this coming year.
Yeah, I'm with you. The just instinctively, like looking at the punishment, I know that's not how the, you know, judgments work in our society. We try to have ground rules and recommendations and sentencing things, but I can't remember this happening. I am far more lenient, I would say, just generally, than a lot of people on in-game, quote-unquote, dirty hits or violence, right? Where guys are going so fast, and what looks like a dirty hit wasn't when the hit started, but a guy, you know, crouches down because he's about to get hit in the gut. Next thing you know, it's helmet to helmet, and everybody wants to call the, you know, the safety a dirty player. I'm very lenient in general, I would say, when it comes to those kind of in-game hits. This is not that. When a guy's laying face down on the ground and Rob Gronkowski headbutts him and gives the guy a concussion, I want that penalized infinitely more stiffly than what happens in a game. When someone takes off a helmet and beats a guy with it, that needs to be bigger than your normal a few games and a fine. It needed to be more significant to me.
Yeah, you don't really see six-game suspensions very often.
Right.
So I'll give him that. It wasn't four, which is your normal, hey, you got popped for drugs or PEDs or some other off-the-field thing. They went a little bit longer than that, but I would have thought for the act that they would have maybe doubled, I don't know, what happens if you smoke marijuana and get caught doing it. Here's something out of the NFL that caught my eye yesterday. I'm going to read from ESPN.com here. After 18 years of suppressing his true feelings, former Jets star pass rusher Mark Gastineau has decided to go public with his belief that the NFL single-season sack record should belong to him and not Hall of Famer Michael Strahan. Now, you'll remember that Strahan broke the record for sacks in a season that Gastineau had 22 sacks had held from 1984 to 2001. And then, in the 2001 season, Strahan broke the record to get to 22.5 when he was at 21.5, half back of the record. In Week 17, in the final game of the year, on a really controversial play of Brett Favre. Now, I actually tried to look this up. I don't know if you can find this, or if someone knows this, they could tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. I know it was in the last game. This would actually color how I feel about this a bunch, I think. But was it super early in that game or super late in that game? Now, was it like a fourth quarter thing where he wasn't going to get the record? I don't remember. I tried to find the time of the game. I couldn't find the telecast. I just saw the video that didn't have.
Yeah, the video that everybody knows.
The score
Brett
bug
Favre
on it.
Just gently drifts to the right and just goes down in front of Strahan so
he
could touch
him. There's no denying. He gives him the sack for the record.
Right.
They basically, I think they even called the play, honestly, for that purpose. He runs by design like this bootleg right into unblocked Michael Strahan. And he's not even running a bootleg how you traditionally would if you plan on throwing. He's kind of just rolling out. He lays down. Strahan comes and just falls on him. And then he gets up and celebrates the record, 22nd and a half sack that season. And he has since, that day in 2001, had a record, 19 years, that may be broken eventually. I won't put that on the list of absolutely unobtainable numbers, but it's going to be really, really hard, even in today's day and age of throwing the football more. I just don't remember if that happened early in the game or late.
Fourth quarter, 2:46 to go.
Boom. That's everything I need to know. So he wouldn't have gotten the record otherwise. Now, if that happens on the first drive, then maybe over the next three quarters playing real football, it would have happened. But they knew all week long going in that Strahan needed this record. He and Favre probably had some decent relationship.
Yeah, Green Bay's got the game won. They win the game 34-25. They were up 34-10 heading into the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Giants made it a little bit closer. So this was in no way impacting the game.
Favre obviously purposely gave him the record. We've all known that for a long, long time. But I think that kind of is the slam dunk to me that it was all orchestrated and what have you. Gastineau's right, by the way. I mean, he had the 22 sacks. Strahan had 21.5. The last one was a fake sack. So he wants his record back. At the time, he congratulated him on the field. He hasn't tried to come out and knock the integrity of the record until yesterday. He said, I was being nice. I was being a good sport. That's good, but it's not real. In fact, I'm kind of a liar anyway. I feel like there's just something wrong. So he's now come out, and he wants to say his piece, which is I should be the sack record holder. And he's probably right. The question, though, is that there's other records like this. There's other times where I remember as an example, this is a slightly different thing, but I tuned in for Cal Ripken Jr. to get the all-time, It was actually, it was his last All-Star game. And on the first pitch in his final All-Star game,
Chan Ho Park throws him a cookie.
Chan Ho Park just kind of grooves a fastball. And that season, I'll go to my grave thinking he was getting fastballs grooved on his little farewell tour because he had gone years without a whole lot of power, not being a big slugger. And I love Cal so much. But in every ballpark for his final hoorah, he'd go to Atlanta, interleague play, or Philly, or he'd go to Boston or whatever. And he would always just kind of hit a home run. And we'd say, man, he's got a flair for the dramatic. Maybe it was natural. Maybe it was just he got a hold of pitches. But I really do believe pitchers were kind of grooving offerings in there when games were out of reach or what have you for this one last great moment of Cal Ripken Jr. Does that diminish the accomplishment? Does it make it lesser? I mean, it's not like he was breaking home run records while they were doing it, but it's all feeding out of the same trough to me where I don't feel good about Strahan being the sack record holder. It was a fake sack.
The record has been tied two other times. Jared Allen with 22 and Justin Houston had 22. Chris Dolman, Reggie White, 21. Aaron Donald, most recently, a couple years ago, with 20.5. Lawrence Taylor had a 20.5 season. You see where I'm going with this. So I get the point generally where you go, this was artificial because it would have been Gastineau at the time, 22, Strahan, 21.5. But it's not as if he was given 10 free. Not as if he was given 7. Or 6 or 5. This was it was a gimme and it was a gift and that cheapens it a bit, but this is not something I'm going to lose sleep over. This is not one of those where I'm going, you know who the real Sack King is Mark Gastineau. If other people hadn't come close to it or tied it, I'd feel probably a little bit more strongly
but
about this.
Tied it meaning tied Gastineau, not Strahan.
Yeah.
In other words, he would still be the record holder for sacks in a season. Now, he'd share that with Allen and Houston, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd be able to say, no one's ever had more sacks than me.
Yes.
Whereas right now, you say, who's got the record for most sacks in a season? And the answer is not Gastineau, which should be. It's Michael Strahan. And that last sack was not a real sack. It was a fake sack. Now, if it's Gastineau's record partially because the other two guys have tied it, I guess you would say it's not his record anyway. Partially his record. He still has the highest total ever. I guess my point is I understand his frustration. And he's saying he thinks about this all the time. I can imagine him just sitting in his house. Like, this is your claim to fame, basically.
Right, yeah, it's a thing.
And someone completely robbed you of it. Completely robbed you of it. In a way that you'd agree, right, that was a complete fraud of a sack.
Oh, of course it was, yeah. Totally fraudulent.
So Strahan should have 21.5.
I mean, what are you gonna take it away?
No. I'm saying, in terms of what he actually earned that year, he had 21.5
sacks. He earned 21.5.
So Gastineau should still have the record. Do you, like me, do you have any empathy for him when you hear him come out and talk about this?
Honestly, not really. I mean, it's not a 56 game hitting streak. It's not 755 homers. It's not something that people really know one way or the other.
And doesn't matter then? I mean, it matters a lot to him.
It does to him. But my point is, if he was standing alone. And nobody
did you
else
have any records
it.
At George Washington playing baseball?
Yeah.
When you retired, what was it?
RBIs.
You had the RBI record.
Yeah, I got smashed the next year.
Okay, cool. Let's say it didn't. Let's say it stood for 19 years, and then a guy broke your record on a fake thing. You know, they laid the ball in for him. They wanted him to get the record for some reason.
Yeah, somebody got to score.
You'd probably be annoyed by that, I would say.
Honestly. It doesn't change anything that I did or didn't do. It doesn't change anything about Gastineau's career. Other people have tied it, is my point. If he was alone in second place and no one had ever sniffed it, then I'd go, man, that's kind of annoying. But his record had been tied two different times. Strahan was already up there. And, you know, half sacks are so subjective anyway. He could have gotten a full sack somewhere else and they decided, now we're going to give half to a different teammate or whatever.
Could have. I mean, he could have gotten three half sacks. He didn't deserve at all.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's such a... it's a thing where I go, he's technically correct. The same way that you're technically correct, I was doing 36 out of 35. Do I deserve a ticket? Maybe, maybe not. It's not the type of thing where I'm going, what an injustice. And I'm not saying you are either, but.
No, but you're doing a little bit of a straw man bit. I'm not saying what an injustice. All I'm saying is this guy came out yesterday and said, no one ever talks about this,
but a
guy stole my sack record and he shouldn't have it. And my point is, yeah, you're correct. He shouldn't have the sack record. He didn't earn the sack record. There are three guys in the history of the league who had more sacks in a season the right way than Michael Strahan did, and none of us talk about it.
Mm.
He's in the Hall of Fame, and we just say he's got the record for sacks in a season when Brett Favre literally laid down for him. Grant and Danny on the Fan will hit the best of the rest next. We're with you until 2 today and each day right here on the Fan. Stretch run of Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks for listening as always. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10 a.m., 10 minutes from now. Chad Dukes versus the world at 2 o'clock. How about Trevor Bauer? Bauer of the now Cincinnati Reds, initially with the Arizona Diamondbacks, traded to the Cleveland Indians, ended last year in Cincy, is the most outspoken player in baseball. He is officially a lot to deal with. He's got opinions, and he wants everyone to know them, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, he doesn't have a different opinion than you. He has the right opinion, you have the wrong opinion, and you're an idiot for having it. Yeah. That kind of guy. He's the smartest guy in every room he's ever been in. But this was Trevor Bauer when talking about the playoff proposal that we discussed yesterday from Rob Manfred in Major League Baseball.
I'm really, really upset about this new ridiculous playoff policy that Rob Manfred has suggested or proposed or leaked. I don't even know how it got on the internet. I don't know why it would even get on the internet. It's that ridiculous.
So the Cliff Notes, if you weren't listening yesterday and if you're not familiar, are that instead of five teams from each league making the playoffs, there would be seven. So instead of a total of 10 of 30 teams, 14 of 30 would get in. The first team in each league in the standings would get a bye, and then there would be six other playoff teams to play in the opening round. They would play three-game, three-day series, all in one ballpark. So one team would be on the road for three straight days. The coolest thing about this, I think that a lot of people liked, although it's very gimmicky, is that the best team left, number two team in the league, would pick which team they wanted to play. And then the next best team, the third team in the standings, would pick the team they wanted to play, which would leave the last two teams to play each other. And then the teams that advance would go on. The one seed that had the bye in the opening round would hop back in. There'd be four teams left in each league, then the league championship series, then the World Series. Bauer despised it. He says he is sick of the commissioner, Rob Manfred. He loves coming out and bashing everything the commissioner says. He calls him Rob in like a disrespectful way online. Here is what he said about the commissioner.
I just am so beside myself with Rob Manfred and his ridiculous rule changes that he keeps proposing. We're going to move the mound back 2 feet. We're going to have a three-batter minimum. We're going to, get the games under 3 hours because that's what fans want. Fans don't care if the game's 2 hours and 57 minutes or 3 hours. The reason that you wanted to do that in the first place is because all the people that own media companies that own baseball teams are the ones that voted you in as commissioner in the first place. So you're protecting them. So in that case, you should probably know something about media. You should probably understand what people are connecting with. Since those are the people that voted you in as commissioner, you should probably understand something about media.
Bauer goes on to talk about why he doesn't like the playoff proposal. He talks about the best teams being at a disadvantage. He thinks because they have to sit out that it's harder for them to win in the playoffs if they have the bye.
Like, just reading through it without even thinking about it for a second, they're just wrong. Like, who put this out without thinking of the fact that the best team in the league is going to get a six-day layoff, a seven-day layoff, while we sort out this whole three games here and this wild card, and we're going to pick our opponent, and we're going to do this whole reality TV stuff. Meanwhile, the best team in baseball is sitting at home waiting for all this crap to transpire. God forbid someone's ace pitches 4 days before the end of the regular season and then has 10 days in between starts.
That I agree with, by the way.
He has some points, but my point is, like, he
ain't scared.
He loves telling you about him, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but he doesn't really have discussions. He just tells you why you're dumb. But there are other things here. He blames the commissioner for young people not liking the game, says it's his own fault, what have you.
And then he's also complaining that the commissioner wants to shorten a length of games, which is something that we've pretty much proven that young people and their attention spans are not friends. I don't know. But, yeah, he's a lot to deal with. That is a great way to put it. The proposal itself, you know, of course there are things that need to be worked on. And it's, no one's saying that it's gospel just yet. But the idea that games don't need to evolve, never leave it to a player to try to evolve the game. You fell in love with it. You grew up with it. I understand that. It's not up. It shouldn't be up to you. You know what I mean? Like someone that's in Major League Baseball being asked what's wrong with Major League Baseball will have a dramatically different view than the people you're trying to attract.
Didn't have the time today, but we did want to talk about Taysom Hill, the Saints' little-used kind of quarterback.
He's the gadget guy.
H-back, gimmicky, Tim Tebow-y kind of dude. He wants to be a franchise quarterback and start somewhere and go play 16 games as a full-time passer next year.
Good luck.
Not for me, man. I love you in the role you're in, and Sean Payton has some plans for you, and you should let him execute those plans.
If you'd like to graduate from H-back slash personal protector on punts to occasional gadget player, cool. I'll say good luck with that. And you could prove me wrong. And I will enjoy that, and I'll draft you on my fantasy team, not this year, but the next year when you end up not really doing anything and you'll be a disappointment.
TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. If you missed any of the show, make sure you listen to the podcast. You can always go to the radio.com app, use the 24-hour feature to go back in time.
For Grant, for Brandon, for Tom, I'm Danny. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. promptly. Don't you miss it with us. And I appreciate you guys checking out the show today in D.C. and beyond, especially on New York. Rich, we are out of here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.